If you have a Bible, you could turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're studying the armor of God. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 6. We're studying different aspects of armor that Paul exhorts Christians to put on. He reminds us that we don't fight against our spouses, our bosses, the person across the table with us, that our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and other realms that we can't see. He goes on to say these words, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand then, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on a breastplate of right standing. As for shoes, put on your feet whatever will help you to bring peace to those around you." And with all of these, take up, this is today's text, the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Paul paints this amazing picture that you, of all people, think of this, you are a divine warrior carrying out a spiritual battle in realms that we can't quite understand, but different than the chest-thumping, angry, aggressive crusaders. Paul writes in a way that deeply subverts our conceptions of what fighting might look like. We're called not to fight with people, but for people. He encourages us, remember, to wrap ourselves with honesty, to be relational, to carry shoes that bring peace into a world of tension and inequalities. And then today's text, he encourages us to pick up a shield of faith. He seems to be saying, just relax. Just inhale and exhale. It's okay. You don't have to be mean or aggressive to be a Christian. You can put on defensive armor and realize this, the victory has already been won. The victory has already been won. Christ won the battle for your soul and for this world. In other words, like D-Day has happened and the decisive victory has already been set, we can relax, you're on a winning side. It's hard to imagine that in Cleveland, but pretend. Pretend you're on a winning side and you know you're going to win and you could sit back and watch without worrying. And that maybe V-Day is still yet to come, casualties to be taken, but all humans are treasured, loved. All God's creation is of value to be reclaimed, liberated, renovated, and restored. And Paul invites you to be a part of that amazing process. Up until now, Paul's description of armor has been limited to things that you wear. On this one now, a shield. In this way, it's different. He encourages emphatically in the Greek to pick up or to lift up a shield of faith. Maybe he's already speaking to us that belief is a moral decision. Faith is a choice, an action, something you have to do. God has no grandchildren. It has to start and end with you to pick up a decision, to say yes. It's an affair of the will, said one theologian. St. Augustine put it this way, "He who created you without any help from you will not save you without your consent." He's saying this. He's saying that there are flaming things that are coming your way. In the Roman Empire, they would dip their arrows into pitch, tar, set them on fire, and then it would hit, it would splatter, and there would be casualties around. And there are missiles directed towards you of feelings of insecurity, of confusion. In the spiritual realms, things that whisper to you, you need more materially. Doubt, discouragement, fear, racial inequality, and the craziness that comes from our fear. Difficulty, depression, self-loathing, disappointment. These aren't human figures to battle. These are missiles being thrown at us that overwhelm us and tempt us into self-destruction. The Roman shield mentioned was as large as a door that would cover a warrior entirely if only they would just pick it up and hold it securely and strongly. When attacked under intimidation or retribution or sarcasm or passive-aggressive weirdness in the family or outside of it, Paul has given you a great mechanism by which you can be shielded, protected, guarded, defended, loved. The Lord is my righteousness, what the psalmist would say, my shield and my strength, in whom I trust. Paul now gives this amazing image that the gift of grace or the gifts that come to you come only by faith. You wonder then, what is faith? Did you wonder that? I hope. Glad you wondered it. I would propose four C's quickly. Faith is a creed. It's a mental parameter, a reality of the mind. Faith is an assent to reason. Thomas Aquinas, and I quote, "A man or a woman could not believe unless he saw things that helped him to believe or her to believe, either by the evidence of things unseen or that which are." In other words, God wrote two books perfectly, Scripture and nature, and both are in complete harmony with one another when both are interpreted rightly, said Augustine. Consider the form and the shape of the universe, the design and purpose of it. Everything we see is a shadow cast by that which we don't see. Every bit of design has been brought forth by a designer. Said one theologian, supposing there was no intelligence behind the universe, no creative mind, what if you were cosmic pond scum become sophisticated over years? Really, what if you were just sort of an amoeba that evolved into a thinking thing? What if you were a time chance accident? Think of this. Nobody designed your brain for the purpose of thinking. It is merely atoms inside your skull, for physical or chemical reasons, seem to arrange themselves in a certain way that gives you, as a byproduct, a sensation that you call thought. How could an atheist ever trust that? If it weren't designed to think, designed to reason, it would be like taking a glass of milk and throwing it on the ground and hoping it would splash out a map of Cleveland by which you could navigate yourself to work or to business. Truly, I mean, honestly, if you can't trust your own thinking, of course you can't trust arguments that lead to atheism or anything else. The world has been designed, you have been designed to think. Said Aquinas, "I seek understanding in order that I might believe." He's saying that faith is this, it's not contrary to reason. It's aligned to reason. It only brings you to a precipice where you have to plug your nose and jump in the direction of reason, the evidence of things not yet seen, but evidence yet still. The Christian faith affirms that there is an objective source and foundation for knowledge, reason, and rationality. Good news today. You don't have to be mean to be a Christian, and you don't have to be stupid. You don't have to have a lobotomy. Christian faith claims do not violate basic laws or principles of reason. They don't. You say, what about miracles? I say, there's certainly an exorcism of things sometimes we don't quite understand yet, but in my mind, they are within the laws and structure of the universe that God himself put together. The Bible encourages knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and promotes an intellectual virtue and discernment of testing and reflection. The Bible tells us to love God with all of our minds, too. I mean, for those of you who just think that a weekend is sitting watching reruns of Netflix and that weekdays should be spent doing more of the same, I would invite you to a Bible study or a book or some course of Christian discipleship that awakens an intellectual curiosity. For Christian truth is never irrational. God's word is real and never self-contradictory. Facts, objective truth, will take you to the precipice and invite you to jump. For what I have seen teaches me to trust in a creator for all that I have not yet seen. You can't stand your whole life on blind faith. You can't. It's stupid. Are you allowed to say that in church? It's ridiculous. You must have a knowing faith, a reasonable faith, an intelligent and growing faith. Hence, a hope for discipleship. Secondly, faith is not just creedal, it's confidence. It is coming to the precipice of saying, now I don't know anymore. It's time to jump in that direction. Believe in order that you might understand. Understand in order that you might believe. The two paradoxes held in tension in all of Augustine's writings. Seek not to understand, he said, that you may believe, but believe in order that you might really begin to understand. He's saying faith is not just all about seeing, and seeing is not all about believing. Sometimes believing is really enabling you to see. Faith is a knowledge within the heart that teaches beyond a scientific proof. Some of the best things you do in your life are beyond scientific. I have a relationship with a beautiful woman for 35 years who's a little angry about hiking in the wilderness just now. But it's healing since we've been home and we slept in a bed. And I do love you, honey. My relationship with her is not based on the scientific method, even though that could be done, maybe. It's based on common sense, experience, intuition, insight, reasonable reasoning, trustable authority, and past interaction. Why would we leave those out of the walk of faith? Have any of you ever walked into a room and switched on a light switch and be shocked the light didn't come on because you simply trusted that there was a mechanism at work that you couldn't see? Faith creates a confidence that dispels fear and defeat. Faith brings an evidence of things unseen that's passionate and intuition-oriented. I believe in Christ as I believe the sun has risen, not just because I see it, but because I see everything else by it. God is so powerful and real that if we would but leap and try it, we would find him to be true and powerful. Not just a mental assent, but an affair of the will. One person said to me, I don't believe in tithing. I said, have you ever tried it? If you tried it, maybe you would find it amazing. Third, faith is not just creedal and confident, but it's commitment. It involves the action of the body. Faith requires movement. Martin Luther, and I quote, oh, when it comes to faith, what living, active, creative, powerful things it is. I cannot sit still this day, he writes. Faith moves him to obedience. And when it comes to faith, he can't just sit still, said one theologian. Faith might move mountains, but sometimes I hear God whispering, hey, psst, pick up a shovel and do something. Because in the act of obedience, we find a deeper faith, a more meaningful faith. Martin Luther King Jr., and I quote, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the staircase laid out before you yet. Real faith produces more real faith. It's not just creedal and confident, it's a commitment into the unknown. When God calls you to do something, you must and can believe he enables and empowers you to do it. Faith is courage. Faith is passionate. Faith is a belief that God is kinder than you ever dreamt him to be. We wash our faith in the bath of faith and praise. Finally, are you glad to hear finally? Faith is community-oriented. Interesting, in the Roman world, towards the end of it, their shields, those big shields, were devised in such a way that they could interact each other's shields and connect. There was like a ledge that intersected each other, and they could form formations and different tortoise shapes of shield configurations so that you couldn't be hit from behind or from the side. Faith allowed people to do things together they could never do apart. Faith allows things to happen in community that we never dreamt could happen. Faith buys Christmas gifts to children whose parents are imprisoned. Faith brings children to camp who have no home beyond a foster home. Faith reaches to people who suffer in formal or informal ministry. Faith is courage and building more courage because we were together for a moment in time. I hear God whisper to me in hospice situations of many of your loved ones, where I saw you and saw your loved ones go into this next world, and God has said to me, "Psst, Dave, you have no excuse to be a coward. You've seen it. You've seen real, powerful, vital faith, alive, active, beautiful, courageous, fearless, soft, connected, linked to other people. Faith makes people formidable. I have seen it. It gives them strength to carry forward into the most horrible of circumstances. I've witnessed it. Faith whispers to me, you don't need to be scared of losing anymore. You don't have to be afraid of trusting. You can open your mouth when you see something that's wrong. You've already won. Faith tells you God will be with you even when you fail. Faith reminds you that the God we know in Jesus Christ would rather die than to live without you. Faith tells us that relationships will let us down once in a while, but God will restore and bring goodness from any experience if he's trusted through it. Faith, real faith, has creed, confidence, commitment, and community. Let me close with a quick story. Many of you have heard of the Willendas, and before them, there was a person who inspired the Willendas. His name was Charles Baudouin. He was a French man who traveled to the States to do something that had never been done. He stranded a 1,400-foot cord across the bubbling Niagara River in 1859. It was 2 inches wide, and he went across pushing a wheelbarrow. No kidding. I mean, this guy pushed a wheelbarrow across the top of Niagara Falls before anyone else had, to a cheering crowd of 120,000 people who waited for him on the Canadian side. One of those people might have imbibed in a little bit too much liquid courage to help him scream above the crowd. This drunk man screamed at Charles, "Do it again, I dare you. Go back and do it again." Now the winds had picked up to almost 45 miles an hour, and the cable was moving in a way that it hadn't before. Charles asked the man, "Do you really think I can do this?" "Of course you can," he screamed. "I believe you can do it." He said, "You really trust I can?" He said, "With all my heart, I do. I believe you can." He said, "Then get in the wheelbarrow." That's what real faith looks like, does it not? It's a confidence. It's a creed. It's a commitment. It's a community to get into the wheelbarrow of Jesus and say, "Come, whatever may, let all hell break loose. Let health fail. Let people fail. Let the economy go to shreds. I've put my whole self into the wheelbarrow of Jesus. He will bring me to the other side. He will see me through. He will carry me through the bubbling waters and turmoil of this world, through our own self-doubt and fear and the things that we blame on other people." Today, Christ promises forgiveness from shame and guilt from the past. He promises to make your eternal future secure. He offers a promise of purpose in the present. All he awaits is for you to pick up a shield and to get in a wheelbarrow. Pray with me. Oh God, the peace, the hope, the victory, the unimaginable blessings that could be ours if we would be but wholly yours in this moment, we give you our hearts in Christ towards the end of fulfilling your dream of becoming fully human and exercising a faith and love. Through Christ our Lord, and all who had this hope together said, Amen.